If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. As we continue in our series, Home Improvement, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, Paul writes, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for the gift of family. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of marriage. We thank you, Lord, for the gift of children. And I just pray for parents listening to the sermon right now, grandparents who may be raising grandkids, that you just give them a brand new encouragement today, brand new conviction, brand new understanding and appreciation, Lord, for the responsibility that you've given them. Pray, Lord, that they would realize that you are with them, trying to do the hardest job in the world. I pray you'd come to us now by the power of your Holy Spirit. I pray you'd open your word and teach us from it exactly what it is you want us to know. We ask all this in your name. Amen. Recently, the Chicago Tribune came out with an article called "Things My Mother Taught Me." And here's just a few of the things on the list. "My mother taught me logic because I said so. That's why. My mother taught me religion. You better pray that stain comes out of the rug. My mother taught me time travel. I'm going to knock you into the middle of next week. My mother taught me to be a contortionist. Look at the back of your neck. It's filthy. And finally, my mother taught me self-control. You don't stop crying, I'm going to give you something to cry about." Now, our mothers taught us those things because they wanted to train us and raise us up into the kind of people they wanted us to be. So moms and dads sitting in this church right now, listen to this message. Let me ask you, what are you teaching your kids? And what are you doing to train and raise your kids up into the people that God wants them to be? The text we have in front of us this morning tells us how that's done. We're in a series here at Fox River right now, a series called Home Improvement, looking at all kinds of things we can do to improve and strengthen and protect and defend the homes and families that God has given us. Lately in this series, we've seen that in order to improve our homes and families, we need to improve our marriages. And today we see that in order to improve our homes and families, we also have to improve the way we parent our kids and raise them up. And to see that, we turn today to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. In this part of Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul just got done telling us, husbands and wives, what we need to do in order to have a marriage that glorifies God. And today, Paul tells moms and dads what we need to do to have children that glorify God too. And the Holy Spirit is telling us today we need to be raising our kids in exactly the same way right now. Our text this morning, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4, tells us three things that we need to do in order to raise our kids for the Lord like God intends us to. And let's look and see what those three things are. The first thing we see from this text, the first thing we need to do in order to raise our kids from the Lord, we need to build them up. Paul says here in verse 4, "Parents, moms and dads, do not exasperate your children." And that word "exasperate" here in the NIV is pretty mild because the Greek really means do not frustrate your kids to the point where they are ready to explode. Raising your kids is not the government's job, not the school's job, not the church's job. Parents, it's your job. But you parents, you are never going to be able to do that as long as your kids are always this close to popping a cork. Parents, do not exasperate your kids. And parents, I realize your kids do a lot of things to exasperate you too. Psalm chapter 127 verse 3 says, "Children are a gift from the Lord." And parents, don't tell me that there aren't times when you would like to re-gift them to somebody else. Researchers tell us that parents, when you have your first child, your personal happiness rate drops 73%. And your marital satisfaction rate drops 46%. And the more kids you have, the lower your levels go. Doctors say when men become dads and start holding babies and carrying them around in pouches like kangaroos, they actually leak out testosterone. "Honey, my hormones are dropping. I got to go mud dragging or deer hunting or four-wheeling or watch the Three Stooges for a while to bring my levels back up." Fatherhood drains away manhood. And having kids and dealing with kids and preparing for kids can be so irritating. No matter how you install that baby seat in the car, I guarantee you it's wrong. When you have toddlers in your house, every button gets pushed, every paper gets torn. You don't do anything spur of the moment anymore. You get any free time, you sleep instead of hanging out with your friends. And vacations, forget about Cabo. You just like to go to the bathroom by yourself for a change. Kids are 24/7 relentless. Brian and Kathy Nellis have three daughters. They named them Elizabeth, Sarah, and Jenny. They would have named them Shirley, Goodness, and Mercy, but they were afraid the last one would have followed them all the days of their life. Your 15-year-old son tells you the night before he needs 50 dozen cupcakes and a homemade drone for a science fair project the very next day. And you understand why some alligators actually eat their own young. Children, do not exasperate your parents. But there are all kinds of things that parents do to exasperate their kids, like trying to live through them. Parents overschedule their kids. I know an 11-year-old boy right now who every single week does homework, piano lessons, soccer practice, swimming lessons, taekwondo competitions, and special enrichment classes at a local community college. And most of those things he's done since age 4. Well, Kevin, he's got to get on the traveling soccer team. Why? Well, because he's got to get a scholarship to a Division I school. Why? Parents, I realize some kids need to be pushed, but when does that kid ever play? When does he ever sleep? A kid's job is to grow up, not to make the parents look good. Parents who won't let go. I know a 42-year-old mom who tried to live with her daughter in her daughter's dorm room at Michigan Tech University her entire freshman year. People, that's creepy. Last month, a 50-year-old mom was walking around Towson State University in Maryland showing girls pictures of her son on her phone trying to get a date for him. I wonder what her son thought about that. Parents get a divorce and blow up their kids' lives and find another partner and expect the children just to follow along like the family dog. And then they badmouth their ex to their kids. Listen to me. Your ex may be your ex, but it's not your kid's ex because that's still their mother or father and they have to live with them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 21. Parents, do not embitter your children. Parents can be way too strict. The picture you see on the screen is a 15-year-old girl named Tara Smith from Sumter, South Carolina. Whenever she got in trouble, her parents would ground her for 3 months at a time. So she decided she needed to have as much fun as she possibly could in between lockdowns. So last month, her first day of freedom, after another 3 months of grounding, she went car surfing with her friends, fell off the car, busted her head open, and died. Too strict a parenting can turn kids into liars and rebels. Colossians 3:21, King James Version. Do not crush your child's spirit. Too many parents today exasperate their kids by neglecting them. The average family in America, parents spend less than 30 minutes a day interacting with their kids. The average father today spends less than 7 minutes a day talking to his children because he's always on the phone or he's always gone or he's always working. You say, well, Kevin, my kids are going to have everything that I didn't have. Listen, your kids don't need things. Your kids need parents. And your kids can do with less of absolutely anything else as long as that means having more of you. Parents, I realize we are really driven people, but don't be so driven that you drive right on past the people in your life who need you the most, and that's your kids. Too many parents put their boyfriend or girlfriend ahead of their kids. Dear Abby, I'm an 11-year-old girl, and my mom has a boyfriend who lives with us. Mom says he comes first in her life, and when she told me that, it felt like she doesn't love me anymore. We used to do all kinds of fun things together, but now my mom totally ignores me and even leaves me alone at night while she and her boyfriend go out partying. I feel like I lost the only person who should really care about me, and it makes me really mad, like I lost my reason for living. Abby, what should I do? People, that's the exasperation, that's the frustration, that's the anger that just builds up and builds up and builds up and builds up until it finally explodes. Like it did in him. Last Friday, November the 15th, about 7:30 in the morning, at Saugus High School, Santa Clarita, California, a 16-year-old student named Nathan Burhau walked through the front door, all dressed in black, pulled a .45-caliber Glock out of a backpack, and started shooting, killing two other students and wounding five others before killing himself, all in just 16 seconds. And when people found out who the shooter was, they were absolutely floored because Nathan Burhau did not fit the profile of a school shooter. He's quiet, always polite, never popped off to anybody, always seemed happy. He was not bullied. He was not a loner. He had plenty of friends, plenty of people in his life who cared about him. He always made the honor roll, had a steady girlfriend, good runner on the cross-country team, lived with his mother in a nice house on a quiet street. The kid was a Boy Scout, for crying out loud. But when the FBI searched his house, they found all kinds of handguns and ninja knives in his bedroom. And why? Why would a 16-year-old kid kill two other people and then himself on his 16th birthday? He never left behind a suicide note. He never posted any manifesto online. No explanation whatsoever. His girlfriend didn't even have a clue. But when police started searching back in records, they found that Nathan's father was a raging alcoholic who had beat the daylights out of Nathan's mom on a regular basis. And it was always Nathan who had to call the police. Until 2017, when Nathan's dad blew his brains out all over the bedroom wall in that house. And according to police report, it was Nathan himself who found his father's body. Bingo. And because he never talked about it, he never processed it, he never turned it over to the Lord, that nightmare about his parents' negative relationship just kept replaying in his mind over and over and over again until he exploded. Parents, do you know what is the number one, most important, most critical, most powerful influence in your kid's life that affects what they think and what they do more than anything else in the whole wide world? It's not school or grades or sports or friends or boyfriends or girlfriends or all of those things combined. Parents, it's you. It's you and the way you treat them and whether or not you tear them down or build them up. Colossians 3:21, parents, do not embitter your children or they will become discouraged. And the damage they do will not only hurt them, but all kinds of people around them too. The first thing that we need to do in order to raise kids for the Lord, we need to build them up. We go on in this text, we see a second thing. A second thing we need to do to raise kids for the Lord. We not only need to build them up, we also need to train them up. Verse 4, bring them up in the training of the Lord. Disneyland has all kinds of hedge bushes that are shaped like all different kinds of animals. And of course, they don't grow like that on their own. Because from the moment they're planted, those bushes are cut and trimmed and pruned and shaped. And then the whole plant is covered with a wire mesh that gives it the pattern that it's supposed to grow into. 10 to 12 years later, you get that. Those bushes need to be trained in the way that they should grow. And parents, exactly the same thing is true with kids. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when they are older, they will not depart from it. Now that word in the Greek, train, carries with it a sense of pain and fear, which means training also involves discipline. But the problem is, too many parents today don't want to discipline their kids at all. Rapper Snoop Dogg said this, "My kids can do whatever in the blank they want to, and for any parent to say otherwise is hypocritical." That's why Snoop Dogg has taught every single one of his kids how to smoke weed. Not exactly father of the year. Then there's the momagers, like Tish Cyrus, Miley Cyrus's mother. This is what she said. "Parents, you need to be your child's best friend because children can never have too many friends to support them." No wonder Miley's been a train wreck since she was 13 years old. Folks, your kids have plenty of friends. What your kids need are parents to tell them no and to hold them accountable. Then there's the snowplow parents who try to guarantee their kid an easy life by plowing in and out of the way any possible obstacle in their path. Last March, actress Lori Loughlin was arrested for bribing coaches and administrators to submit fake ACT scores for her daughters so they could get fake athletic scholarships so they could get in the University of Southern California, USC. People, it's not that hard to get into USC, which means those girls are nothing but dim bulb YouTube stars who didn't want to be in college anyway. Parents want to guarantee their kids a problem-free, stress-free life. People, God doesn't even promise us a problem-free, stress-free life. John chapter 16, verse 33, because He wants us to use the struggles and the trials to build up our faith and to build up our character, which parents are never going to give their kids an opportunity to do if they snowplow for them. Because training has that sense of pain and fear, parents, you do need to discipline your kids. Now, my mom didn't understand New Testament Greek at all, but believe you me, she had no problem whatsoever disciplining me. Even while she was driving the car going down the road. Me and my two brothers would be fighting in the back seat. This was days before people cared about seat belts or baby seats. My mom would just reach her arm around and start smacking us around in the back seat. And when we try to get away by going in the corners, my mom would take the steering wheel and she would swerve it. So the whole car was going like this. So me and my brothers would roll to the middle so she could smack us some more. My mom was so good at stunt driving, she could have driven the presidential limo for the Secret Service. You say, well, Kevin, if you got spanked, you probably got some lasting psychological condition. Yeah. Because I got spanked, I've got a lasting psychological condition called respect for other people. My mom spanked us. She didn't abuse us. Look at this little boy and her mother standing in the checkout line at the grocery store. Notice what mom did? No sucker for him. Because you never, ever, ever, ever give in to blackmail, which exactly what that was, whether they're 6 years old or 36 years old. Your kids need to know that you are the boss and you never, ever, ever, ever reward bad behavior. Amen. Parents, you're the gatekeeper, which means you keep out everything that's bad, which means you check what's on your kids' phones. You say, well, Kevin, what about privacy? In a day when one out of every three young people are sexting naked pictures of themselves and body parts to other people, I'd say privacy left the building a long time ago. You check your kid's phone. Vault apps and apps that look like calculators have porn in them. TikTok and the Discover function on Snapchat are loaded with porn. So good rule of thumb, parents, if your son or daughter gets an app on their phone, you get the same app on your phone so you can check it out and see what's in it. Amen. And you say this to your kids. In this house, we operate on two platforms, love and trust. We love you no matter what you do, and that will never change. But trust has to be earned. So you will hand over your phone every time we ask for it. Not necessarily because we don't trust you, but because we don't trust the porn industry. You discipline your kids. You discipline your kids by showing them tough love. Dear Abby, my son Pete, who is 18, has had a battle with drugs since he was 14. After dozens of arrests, umpteen counseling sessions for Pete, our younger children, and his father and me, numerous trips to rehab, hundreds of thousands of dollars in bills, and now us having to file for bankruptcy, we decided to tell Pete he can no longer live in our home. I've cried a billion tears over this, and we still love our son, but we can no longer be the crutch he leans on. And we have other children who need us now, even more than ever. Abby, please tell other parents in our situation not to wait as long as we did to do the right thing. There's parents listening to this sermon right now, maybe sitting right here in this church. You need to do exactly the same thing with a child that you have in your house, don't you? Because you have your marriage to protect and younger children in your house to protect, you have to take that problem child who will not stop doing what they're doing and tell them they're no longer welcome. And not because you don't love them, but because you do love them. Because you love them enough to make them face the consequences of the wrong thing that they are doing. So the Lord can bring them back to their senses and save their soul. You discipline your kids. And you say, Kevin, you're giving all this advice. You don't have kids of your own. That's right. You know how many thousands of kids we've dealt with in counseling sessions? Don't tell me it doesn't work. Parents training doesn't just mean you punish your kids. It also means you give them guidelines. So you don't just tell them what's wrong. You also show them what's right. The picture you see here on the screen, previous picture, is Don and Diana Beebe and their son Chad. Don played 9 years in the NFL. Chad's played 2 years now in the NFL when he isn't hurt. But you ask Don and Diana Beebe, they will tell you the number one dream they have for their son is not to play NFL football. The average NFL career only lasts 2.5 years anyway. NFL stands for not for long. Don and Diana Beebe's number one dream for their son is that he would be a man of God leading a family of his own someday. Just like their number one dream for their daughters is that their daughters would be women of God who are having families of their own someday. So parents, you train that into your kids no matter what they're doing for a living. You train that into your kids no matter what other issues your kids may have to deal with. The picture you see on the screen is a 31-year-old woman named Lizzie Vasquez from Austin, Texas. And the reason she looks like that is because she was born with two very rare genetic disorders. Marfan syndrome that affects her ability to develop muscles, and also lipodystrophy that affects her ability to gain weight. So she has never weighed more than 66 pounds her entire life. Mentally, emotionally, spiritually, she's sharp as a tack. Just not physically. Parents, look at that girl. You think your kids have obstacles to overcome? And of course she went through hell because of it, starting in kindergarten, because all the other kids would point at her and call her a freak. And growing up, whenever her parents would take her out in public, people would laugh and they would make faces. You talk about humiliating. But worst of all, one day when she was 17 years old, she went online and found that somebody had made a video about her and posted it on YouTube. A video where she was called the ugliest woman in the world. Somebody who had no clue about her birth defects or all she was trying to do would deal with them. And she watched that entire video hoping and praying that one person on that video would say something, one thing positive about her, but they didn't. People, you talk about a girl having her spirit crushed. People, can you imagine? Can you imagine being Lizzie Vasquez in our culture today where everything is about looks and being hot? But in spite of all of that, do you know why Lizzie Vasquez never got hopeless and killed herself and checked herself out? I'll tell you why. It was because of her parents. Lupe and Rita Vasquez were born-again Christians who do not let their daughter's condition change their love for her or the plans and the dreams that they had for her. She was their little girl. God's gift to them. And God had a special plan for her life, just like He has a special plan for all children. So instead of trying to hide her away, keep her under wraps, homeschool her, they sent her to public school with all the normal kids, because she was normal too, except for her looks. And they taught her about Jesus. And they trained her to live for Him, just like they did, no matter what anybody said about her. and they trained her to know that the purpose of her life was to glorify Jesus Christ. So at age 17, after she saw that video, she decided that's exactly what she was going to do. She was going to live her life for the glory of Jesus Christ. So she got permission to share her testimony with all of her classmates at a special assembly in her high school. After she spoke there, she started getting invitations from other high schools to share her testimony, and from churches and youth groups and community groups all over the country. 2015, a documentary was made about her called A Brave Heart, and that documentary was shown in theaters all over the place. Lizzie Vasquez has testified before Congress for anti-bullying legislation, and today she travels all over the world as a motivational speaker, sharing her testimony, lifting up Jesus, and telling people about the power that parents really have. This is what Lizzie Vasquez said. My mom and dad took this medical condition I have, gave it to the Lord, and simply trusted that He was going to use it for good things. And they did everything they could to get me to accept it and trust God with it too. And it was their training that got me to deal with it and to turn it into a ministry that's affecting people all over the world. Parents, you have no idea the power you have in your children's hearts and minds and lives. Parents, listen to me. I don't care what kind of issue your kids may be dealing with right now. And I don't care what kind of hell they may have had to go through because of it. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that Jesus Christ cannot overcome if you turn it over to Him and train your kids to do exactly the same thing. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, your children will be trained by the Lord, and great will be your children's peace. The second thing we need to do in order to raise kids for the Lord, we need to train them up. We go on in this text, we see a third thing. A third thing that we need to do to raise our kids for the Lord. We not only need to build them up, we not only need to train them up, but third, we need to teach them up. Verse 4, bring them up in the instruction of the Lord. Teach them. Because parents, I guarantee you, the world is teaching your kids. YouTube is teaching your kids to eat Tide Pods and snort Raymond powder. Taylor Swift is teaching your kids to be gay and transgender. College is teaching your kids that America is evil and needs to be destroyed. Netflix and that show 13 Reasons is teaching your kids to commit suicide. Last October the 17th, the town of Utica hosted what they called a witches' walk. Over 400 people dressed up like witches so kids could mingle with them. But the Bible says that witchcraft is evil in any way, shape, or form. So parents, instead of letting your kids walk with witches, why don't you teach them to walk with Jesus? If you don't teach your kids to follow Christ, the world will teach them not to. Parents, you got to teach your kids about the Lord. And listen to me. You've got to be so serious about this that you actually do it. Because too many Christian parents don't do it at all. Too many Christian parents like to say or think that they are teaching their kids spiritual things, but they're not really willing to do anything or sacrifice anything to actually make it happen. Because too many Christian moms won't get off the phone long enough to pray over their daughters. Too many Christian dads won't give up the walking dead to teach their kids about the living God. There's parents who got their kids baptized here at Fox River Church. However long ago. And in case you forgot, during that ceremony, you made a promise to God that you would do everything you possibly could to bring your kids to Christ. That you would bring them here to church and Sunday school on a Sunday morning. That you would talk to them about the Lord and about the Word and how to pray. A funny thing, when I'm on Facebook, I see you doing all kinds of things with your kids. You're going to the zoo. You're taking the Blackhawks hockey games. You're riding the train at the sandwich fair. You're baking cookies. And there's nothing wrong with any of those. The problem is, I never see you bringing your kids to church and Sunday school here on a Sunday morning. And I'm here most every Sunday. So in a way, you are teaching your kids. You're teaching your kids that any worm wrestle is more important than being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day to get close to Him and to learn about Him. Parents, I can see on Facebook, I know your kid can duck a basketball. I know your son is on the All-State football team. I know that your daughter can sing like Mariah Carey and that she's first chair clarinet in the high school band. I know all your kids are super geniuses because the awards they get at school. But Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 24, God says, let parents glory in this, that their children know and honor me. Do your kids know and honor the Lord? Do your kids read the Word? Do they know how to share the gospel with somebody? Are they leading other kids to Christ? Do they know how to disciple another believer? Deuteronomy chapter 6, 6 and 7 says you don't leave it to the pastor, the Sunday school teacher, the youth group leader, the Awana leader to teach your kids. Parents, primarily, it's you. You say, well, Kevin, you had my kid in confirmation class. Yeah, I had your kid in confirmation for 2 years. The question is, what have you been teaching your kid since then? Because you have them a lot more than I do. A lot longer than I do. Are you teaching them? Are you teaching them the instruction of the Lord? Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7 says you take advantage of every opportunity you can to teach your kids. And especially when you're doing things together. Bears quarterback Chase Daniels and Bears defensive back Prince Amukamara are both serious Christians. So parents, while you're watching the Bears get beat by the Giants this afternoon, why don't you strike up a conversation with your kids and talk about what it would be like to stay faithful to Christ as an NFL football player? What a wonderful opening line for a conversation. Teach your kids what it really means to be a Christian. What it means to have a relationship with Jesus every single day. How to make good choices based on values you find in God's Word. Teach your kids to walk in sexual integrity. Teach them why pornography is a lie. And teach them that they never cave like Chick-fil-A on principles that they know are true. Teach them. And parents, in order to make it real for your kids, you've got to model for them what you're teaching them. You are the number one, most powerful, most potent spiritual influence in your child's life, next to the Holy Spirit. So chances are, you get saved, your kids will get saved. You go to church, your kids will go to church. You read the Bible, your kids will read the Bible. You don't fall away, your kids won't fall away. And I know there's some parents listening to me right now thinking, Kevin, we taught our kids, and they did fall away. You know what? It happens. Ronald Reagan, his adopted son, Ron Reagan Jr., is a powerful born-again Christian. Ronald Reagan's biological son, Michael Reagan, is a raving atheist. Kansas City Chiefs head coach Andy Reid is a Christian. But his two sons, Garrett and Britt, have been in and out of prison and drug rehab for years. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is older, he will not depart from it. That is not an ironclad guarantee. That is a general principle. If you walk with the Lord, and if you teach your kids the truth, chances are, more likely than not, your kids will walk with the Lord too and stay faithful to Him, but not always. And I know there's parents hearing me right now. You say, but Kevin, what did we do wrong? Parents, maybe you didn't do anything wrong. Remember the parable of the prodigal son. The prodigal son's father didn't do anything wrong. The prodigal son did. The father taught him the truth. The kid rejected it. And notice, all the while that child was gone, the father was waiting for him because he knew he couldn't make that decision for him. There's Christian parents listening to this sermon right now. You've got a child who's off in the far country enjoying the pleasures of sin for a time and a season. And you're waiting for them to come back because you know you can't make that decision for them either. And that's why Ephesians chapter 6 verse 4 here only talks about what you parents are supposed to do. It doesn't say anything about what the children are supposed to do in response to it. And you know why? Because parents, you do this. You teach your kids the truth. You raise them up in the truth as unto the Lord, whether they receive it or accept it or not. You're responsible for teaching your kids truth. Your kids are responsible for receiving it, believing it, following it, and living according to it. So that's not on you. That's between your kids and the Lord. And until that happens, you live in hope. And parents, because you will always be the most powerful spiritual influence in your child's life next to the Holy Spirit, you never, ever, ever, ever stop speaking into your kids' hearts. Ever. Because parents, you have no idea how long you're going to have your kids. Last Tuesday, Napanee, Indiana, two little Amish boys, ages 3 and 5, got out of their fenced-in yard and went over to the neighbor's farm to play on the big trucks and tractors during harvest time. But then the 26-year-old farmer, the neighbor, jumped in a grain truck loaded with corn, not knowing that the two little boys were underneath. Pulled ahead about 50 feet, saw in his rearview mirror he had crushed those little boys to death. The hardest thing in the whole wide world for a parent to deal with is the loss of a child. There's nothing like it. And if you think it's any easier if those kids are older, guess again. Just ask them. Everybody and his brother has been praying for Jackie Vanjosky and her husband Mark and her little girl Paisley from Yorkville. And everybody knows now that Jackie passed away from cancer last Thursday night up at Edwards Hospital in Naperville, where she had been for several weeks because cancer was attacking her lungs and her breathing. Sue and I were up there together on a Friday. Mark was there, Jackie's two sisters were there, and Jackie's parents, Bruce and Virginia Killian, were there. And I asked Jackie, "Jackie, you still trusting in Jesus as your Savior?" And she said, "Yeah." I said, "You still believe He died on the cross and rose from the dead to take away your sins?" She said, "Yeah." I said, "If you died tonight, you still sure that you'd go to heaven?" She said, "No doubt. Absolutely." She was ready to go. So we prayed together. And as we were all walking out of the room, I asked Bruce and Virginia Killian, as her parents, "How in the world are you getting through this? You know, seeing your daughter like that, how in the world are you getting through this?" And they said, "We're not. The Lord is the one who's getting us through this." People, can you imagine? Can you imagine giving birth to a beautiful girl like Jackie? As parents, and watching her grow up. And being so thrilled when she married the love of her life. And then being even more thrilled when you found out she was going to have a baby. And then right when she gets the certificate, this degree, so she can start the dream job that she always wanted, she gets super aggressive cancer. And can you imagine being parents going through all the doctor's appointments with her and all the chemo and all the trips back and forth to Houston, Texas, and seeing her separated from her family for so long because she's trying to get healed? And then every time there's any kind of hint of remission, the cancer just keeps coming back over and over again, stronger than ever before. And can you imagine being there at Edwards Hospital in Naperville? Your daughter's laying in a bed turning gray in front of your very eyes. And in pain. And her heart is racing because she's struggling to breathe. And having to do that on her 31st birthday. At what point do parents just get numb to the whole thing and start walking around like a zombie? And always wondering why God hasn't physically healed her. Bruce and Virginia Killian know exactly what Jesus can do. He didn't do it. God, why would you give us a daughter and then take her away? And why would you give our daughter a daughter of her own and not let her grow, see her grow up and raise her? And because parents never stop being moms and dads, how many times did Bruce and Virginia Killian get on their knees crying out to God and say, "God, why don't you heal her? And if you're not going to heal her, take the cancer from her and put it on me. Take me instead." Because parents would do absolutely anything to save the lives of their kids. And kids are supposed to bury their parents, not the other way around. But they couldn't take their daughter's place. Because it doesn't work that way. And they know that. You know what got Bruce and Virginia Killian through this whole thing? Seeing the Lord getting Mark and Jackie through the whole thing. Last Monday night, Mark Vanjosky posted this on a Facebook page. "I pray knowing that whatever happens, His will be done. I pray knowing I am powerless to help my wife, but knowing God is almighty and through Him, all things are possible. I don't know His plan, but I know He does." People, that's the voice of faith. And that same night, Mark sent this text to me and Sue. "I feel in my heart right now to let you and Kevin know that I can feel God at our side. through what Jackie is going through. I know she feels the same. I pray that God would fill your hearts as He has ours. Thank you for all your prayers. People, don't tell me that God was not in that hospital room. She knew what got Bruce and Virginia Killian through this. There is not a Christian parent listening to this sermon right now whose number one hope and joy and dream and desire and goal in life is to see their kids saved and to know that they're going to go to heaven when they die. So what got Bruce and Virginia Killian through this is knowing that the very nanosecond that Jackie closed her eyes in death, she went to heaven to be with Jesus. And Bruce and Virginia knowing themselves, because they're trusting in Jesus themselves, when they die, just a matter of time, they're going to be in heaven too, and they're going to see their daughter again. Sue and I were never able to have children or be parents. So I can't imagine what it's like to have a child and then lose that child. But even worse, I can't imagine what kind of hell it would be to have a child and then lose that child for eternity. But see, Mark and Bruce and Virginia Killian aren't going to have to do that. Because they're going to have their daughter, and they're going to be with their daughter, and they're going to see their daughter forever and ever. Parents, how about you and your kids? A while back, I saw this sign on the wall of a real estate agent. The most important work you will ever do will be within the walls of your own home. Tending to your marriage and raising your kids. Christian parents, the most important work that we need to do today inside the walls of this four walls of this church, we need to pray for your kids. Because if we don't build them up and train them up and teach them up, and most importantly, we don't pray for them, we fail to do that. We will fail at absolutely the only thing that matters the most. So parents, wherever you're at right now, could you just reach over and lay hands on your kids? If your kids are in nursery, if they're in children's church right now, just do this in your mind and your heart and your spirit. If you're a single person here today, you don't have kids. If you're a married couple here, you don't have kids. They're not with you for whatever reason. Could you find a kid somewhere and lay hands on them too? We want everybody covered. There may be parents here today, your kids won't even talk to you. Maybe you don't even know where your kids are. We're going to pray for them too. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and let's pray. Lord, I have no idea what it's like to have a child, but I know how precious children are. And Lord, there is not one child in this room right now, I don't care what age they are, that is not the most important thing in the whole wide world to their parents sitting in these pews, in these seats next to you. And I just ask and pray, Lord, that not one of these children in this room that parents are remembering now, grandparents are remembering now, whether they're physically here or not, not one of them would be lost. Pray, Lord, that you would just protect them and guard them from the evil one. Lord, it's very easy when they're still at home. When they go off to college, what are they going to hear? What are they going to do? How are they going to be influenced? I pray, Lord, for children who are not here today, or they're downstairs. I just ask exactly the same thing, Lord, that you give parents a brand new heart for them, a brand new desire, brand new strength, brand new courage, because it is weary. It is wearying to have and to raise children, and you know that. There's parents here who are tired. There's parents here who are discouraged. There's parents who want to give up. There's parents who thought they made a big mistake. I pray you change their minds today, that they would be examples, Lord, not perfect, but real for their kids. And I just pray, Lord, for all the children that are represented by parents and grandparents here who are off in the far country, who have wandered away from you. Lord, they've heard the truth. They know the truth. I pray you would apply it to their heart and mind, and you would bring them back today. Just ask, Lord, that you would call them back from the land of the enemy, like your word promises in Isaiah. Just thank you, Lord, for the gift of children. Thank you, Lord, that you have made them so precious. Every one of them, even more precious to you than they are to their parents and grandparents. And Lord, we pray you would do a work in us, not only as parents, but also as a church body, to realize, Lord, how absolutely critical it is that we be teaching them and training them and encouraging them and setting an example for them. All these things we ask in your name, and thank you. Amen.